getting it right now.
Can't believe I graduated to sixth grade on my third try. It just ain't had no sense, I'm telling you. All righty, honey, we're going to fire this baby up now. Here we go. Speedway City, USA. That's what's coming up, folks. Here we go.
Get up, Grandpa. Don't you know it's daylight saving time?
Yeah, I know it. I don't know who in the world ever got it up. It don't do nobody a bit of good.
Let me tell the story. I can tell it all about the mountain boy who ran illegal alcohol. His daddy made the whiskey.
This is Harold. This is Speedway City, USA. Damn it. Beauty, you there, honey?
I'm right over here. I just done got back stopping.
That's really good that you showed up, honey. Beauty and me had a fight today, folk.
Well, things do happen.
I were an idiot again.
Well, you know.
Ain't even the first time this week, folks. Ain't only Tuesday. So I work.
That's why I done got the old Fargo fired up and me and Gravel Gertie went shopping.
Well, I wasn't sure that Beulah you were going to show up tonight, but I'm sure glad you're home, honey.
Well, somebody's got to feed you.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I was left to my own things. I was going to eat Bugle Biggers. That's all I'd eat.
Well, I done got me some spare money because Betty Crocker done want that recipe, so I sold it to them for $275.
That's a good deal, honey. That's a good deal.
So I went and I picked up Gravel Gertie, and we went shopping, and I brought home this here little blue rug. You like that?
Hey, that's a pretty nice-looking rug.
Now, I'm not sure if I'm going to put that in the entranceway or if I'm going to put that in the bathroom or where I'm going to put it, but it was a good bargain.
Yeah, that's always good. Can't have enough blue rugs around here. Never knows
when you... Gertie was wanting one, too.
Never knows when you're going to need a blue rug.
That's right.
That's so. Well, folks, we're going to be talking racing and rugs. Theirs was running out at Phoenix. I never understood how that could spell it, the Phoenix.
I think they done had too many letters and they just used them all up in one word.
Because if I was going to spell Phoenix, I'd spell it F-E-E-N-I-X. That's how
I'd spell it. I'd spell it F-E-E-N-I-C-K-S.
Yeah, that would work too. I ain't never been no good at spelling there.
That's why your Harold name got two L's in it.
Well, I have problems spelling Harold sometimes.
Yeah, well, why don't you just use an X like you used to before you graduated from sixth grade for the third time?
Well, you know, I'm just proud of my spelling. I'm trying. But anyway, well, folks, we're going to be talking about the next Still Cup race. Phoenix Raceway, and now we're going to be talking about a race from way back in 1957. It were a good one.
Good time.
Yep.
Very good time.
And Beulie's going to have her recipe the week, as she always does, too. She's such a good cook. She has the best victuals in town, folks, in the whole county.
Got anyone coming?
You know, who's coming?
I don't know. Do y'all invite anybody? Do you invite Spark Plug yet?
Well, old Sparky, he won that election last week. He's been kind of busy, but he might just stop by. You never know.
I hope he does. I'm going to set a plate for him.
Well, you set a plate for him. I'll eat his share if he don't show up.
Well, he don't eat it. He don't eat it. Leroy can eat it.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Leroy, he's got a big appetite.
Never ends.
Yeah, she's just eating, eating, eating. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Checker Auto Parts 500 here on Speedway City, USA, damn it.
This is Carbon Supersport from RacerDogs.com with an important message. Do you have a human at home that needs a new outfit? Why not visit RacerDogs.com and pick out a shirt or two from my own carbon-approved collection? Now, I'm not going to tell you how I approve these magnificent articles of clothing, but I will guarantee you that everything is now dry and ready to ship to your doorstep. So please visit RacerDogs.com today. I work for biscuits, and I'm starting to get hungry.
HotJackets.com has the best pricing and selection of NASCAR jackets you will find anywhere. These same jackets are priced as high as $200 or more at the track, but HotJackets has them for just $99. Coming this fall, the brand new Superman jackets, and in stock now is the complete Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights collection. You can also find many of your favorite college teams and the cool new Muppets jackets too. HotJackets.com, your only choice for the complete selection of JH Design Line jackets at the best price anywhere.
So cool, so covered, and when I shave, that is why I love the head blade. I put it in my hand, I use it every day. I've got the look because of head blade. Head blade, head blade. Head blade, head blade. Head blade, head blade. Head blade.
For more information about head blade, check us out at headblade.com.
Head blade.
This is Harold. Welcome back to Speedway City. That's some good Wurlitzer in on the beginning of that song. Just makes me want to get out and roller skate with Morgan Shepherd. Skating for Jesus. Anyway, folks, last week, those Winston Cup guys is at Pahonix Phoenix International Raceway. Kevin Harvick won. He were driving the Bugalabega Chevrolet. Jimmy Johnson was second. That young feller Denny Hamlin was third. But I heard some bad news from Denny Hamlin.
What'd you hear from Denny Hamlin?
I read in somewhere online that his mama, she burned her hands making cookies.
Oh, she did not, did she?
That's
she needs herself some Nomex underwear.
Well, they said that there were a hole in her mechanic's gloves, and she just burned herself.
Well, that ain't too good.
That was tragic. I was sorry to hear that. But she gonna be okay, folks. Don't worry. She gonna be okay.
Are you sure maybe she didn't have a hunk of chrome on her oven?
Well, maybe. Kind of running the family.
Maybe she was racing around her oven.
Maybe she were.
Tore a glove.
Jeff Gordon, he were fourth. You didn't know that Kevin Harvick was racing in the Bugalabega Chevy, did you?
I did not. I'm thinking maybe Betty Crocker took that $275 that they give me and they done spread it around a little bit further than they said they would.
Well, $275, I bet you can get on the front of a car. That's a lot of money.
It is, but I had a hankering to spend mine on this little blue rug, though.
Well, you got to have what you got to have. Fifth place was Carl Edwards. Here we're driving the Office Depot Ford.
I think that would be the Depot Ford.
Depot?
That's right, because they just want to give someone else a chance.
Looks like Depot to me.
PK.
Yeah, that's it. Number six, Mark Martin, he were six.
Now, how many times do you think that would happen in the life of a man?
Well, it would have burned something if he would have started 6-2.
That would have been a triple header.
Yes, sure would have been. Except on the sheet it would say 666, and that ain't good.
That ain't good. That ain't good. A spark plug and I was talking about the preacher, man. And, you know, he's been slipping a little bit extra, you know, and it ain't too good. So I'm thinking, even if he wanted to come and have him exercise Mark Martin, it just would not work out because he's been down at the Piggly Wiggly stealing butter.
Well, Mark Martin.
That's what Spark Plug told me.
He don't need no help exercising. He in good shape.
Well, if he was to dress up as an old man at Halloween, he'd look a lot younger.
Well, he just kind of got one of them happy faces that just sit there and go, I'm happy, I ain't running worth a dang, but I'm happy.
Well, you done heard what Gravel Gertie said about him.
Well, thank the fans. Well,
but
thank
he's coming
you,
close
salute
to losing it.
To you.
He don't know what he's even saying.
A salute to you, tour, for the third time coming up soon.
When he gets his divorce from Roush Racing, we're going to see a whole different side of this man.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, if I said I was going to retire from Rutabagan, I'd retire. Wouldn't be no salute to you, Rutabaga, tur. I'd just quit.
If you was retired, all you'd be was a recap on the rolling road of life.
That's for sure. Seventh place for Casey Kane. Old Spitfire was seven.
Spitfire
was seven. He started 11, so he have a real lucky weekend. 7-11.
Well, at least he didn't start ninth. Because upside down, if he was on his roof, if he started 9 in the 9 car and finished 9, if he was on his roof, we would have that 666 again, and we'd be having to call that preacher man who's out there hustling the butter.
Yeah, or call Morgan. That'll work, too.
Yeah, I'm skating for Jesus.
Kurt Busch, you were a Deputy Busch!
He ain't no real deputy. He's about as deputy as Deputy Dog.
I'm going to start calling him Barney.
Yeah, well, that's probably more like it.
He kind of looked like Barney Fife when he was out there wearing his little badge.
And he pulls out his gun from his holster, and he starts holding it with two hands and just a quivering. You know he can't blow nothing away. He wouldn't even.
That's for sure. Ninth place was Junior! I just like saying that. You know who was ninth?
Who?
Junior!
I'm really wondering who might have been in ninth place at Pahonix this weekend. Who do you think was in ninth place?
Junior!
Now, if you was named after your pappy and they give you the same name, what would they call you?
Junior!
If you was only like 4'10", but grown man, and you want to buy yourself a pair of pants now, what section of the department store would you go to?
Mrs.? Oh, Junior!
If you wanted yourself a mint candy, you didn't want a whole great big giant one, you wanted a mint and you wanted a little one, which one would you buy?
Fun size?
Junior! You staying in on with the play?
Oh, it's Junior. I'm just funning you, honey.
Now, if you done had a Holly Farms car and your last name was Johnson, what would your first name be?
Ain't Jimmy. It would have to
Holly
be...
Holly Farms?
It would have to be... Junior!
I think we got our point across, Harold. Now, you carry on. You tell us who number 10 was.
No, it weren't Junior. Jeff Burton were 10.
I think his call got dropped.
Yep, pretty much his whole season got dropped a couple of races ago.
Not his whole season. He's had one fine run.
Yeah, but he were leading the points, and he looked like he was going to win the championship for the first time ever, and then all of a sudden, boom, there it goes.
He was in the wrong with a sitting duck.
Yeah, that's no fun.
He was a sitting Barton.
Brian Vickers were 11. He got one more race in a Chevy before he goes to a Toyota.
Going to be an interesting time.
12th place was that famous Canadian driver, Martin Truex Jr. I was funning you. He's from Jersey. He ain't from Canada.
I did not think so. I believe he spent a lot of time on one of them there shrimp and oyster boats or something.
Yep, his daddy's the king of the oysters.
Sea king, ain't it? What's
it
called?
Must smell real bad in his house.
Yeah, but think of the love time they'd have.
Matt Kenseth, he were 13th. Tony Stewart were 14th. Why weren't Tony up there running better than that?
I think the glare off that blue wall got him in the eyeballs.
Yeah, it might have been. That old Jamie McMurray, he ain't much of a driver, but he sure got a job in comedy after what he say. He were driving the Irwin Industrial Tools car, and when he went spinning off the front bumper of Tony Stewart, and they stick a microphone in his face, he say, "I'm gonna buy all my Irwin tools at Lowe's." That were pretty funny.
That was quite a nice off-the-cuff comment for being in such a state of...
Well, maybe the hit against the wall knocked some sense into that boy.
That could be.
Oh, Jimmy Johnson, he leads the points.
Are you eating bugalobagas while you're telling me this?
I'm eating bugalobagas. I can't stop eating them. You can't just eat one.
Well, I ain't allowed to bake them no more because I sold my recipe to bake them.
This is not good news.
Gonna have to invent something else. Gonna be maybe eat even better than you can bake us.
Well, that might be. They're so yummy, though. You ain't ever had a bugalobaga. You don't know what you're missing, folks.
Well, you'll be able to get the instant mix now from Betty Crocker at your local food store.
Well, that's not as much fun as whittling them down.
That's true. Well, you're going to have a lot of spare time now to spend doing what you want to do, shaking out your blue rug and all that.
Well, everybody got to have a hobby.
That's right.
Anyway, folks, that were the race way back when on Sunday. We're going to have a race that was way back when in 1957 when we come back.
Yeah, it was 1957, that's right.
That were a good year.
No, it was 1956. I remember it better.
1956? That's right. Right. We're in December of 1956.
Yeah, that was a nice time.
Just don't race enough like they used to.
No, they sure don't.
Now these guys, they race 36 races. They fly to all the races. They stay in all these nice RVs. And they
what
say,
happened to all that spend getting to know your friends, driving around the countryside with about six men in a pickup truck?
Just don't.
With a tow bar?
They just don't know fun.
They don't know fun no more.
Well, they fly everywhere. And they
now what you do, you take the engine out of your pickup truck, you put it in your car, and you go whoop every...
That'll
then you
work.
Put it back in your truck, and y'all would come home.
That would work. That was why racing was more fun way back when.
It was just a different time.
It were a real different time. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Speedway City, USA. That's Bewley. I'm Harold. We'll be back.
RacerDogs.com, because dogs want to go fast too. You see them every week at the track. None of these are your typical lassie. They're hardcore blue-collar racer dogs with dirt under their nails and unabashed loyalty. Nose to the wind and letting the world blow by. Order your red, white, and blue ticker carbon-approved t-shirts today at RacerDogs.com, because dogs want to go fast too. From every purchase, a dollar is donated to the Ryan Newman Foundation.
Motorsports Tonight is presented by RPM Diecast. Check them out on the web at rpmdiecast.com. They're an authorized distributor of Action Performance, the most trusted name in NASCAR and NHRA diecast collectibles. All your favorite drivers are featured, including the new Dale Earnhardt Jr. Father's Day Budweiser Monte Carlo and the Casey Kane Dodge Dealers Click Michigan Wind Dodge Charger. 1/24th scale, just $64.99 at rpmdiecast.com. While you're there, check out their Salute to Dale Earnhardt section and all the diecast from the movie Talladega Nights. RPM Diecast is your home for the latest in racing collectibles, merchandise, and apparel, including the Dale Earnhardt Jr. camo cap, just $24. Visit rpmdiecast.com or call toll-free 1-877-800-2415 Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 Central. rpmdiecast.com has shipped almost 100,000 internet orders since 1998. When it comes to diecast, the only name you need to know is RPM Diecast.
This is Carbon Super Sport, the official spokespup for RacerDogs.com. Anyone who knows me knows I have good fashion sense and an appreciation for quality. That's why I chose Stellar Apparel as my official wardrobe company. They may not make shirts just for me with four sleeves yet, but two sleeves seem to suit my favorite humans just fine. Stellar Apparel offers custom apparel, screen printing, embroidery, and a variety of promotional items. Give Jamie a call at 1-866-461-8232 or visit stellarapparel.com today. And hey, tell him Carbon sent ya.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
Sing it, Billy!
I can't sing as good as Patsy Cline.
Crazy for feeling so blue.
So blue!
Oh, that's right, fine, Harry.
Yeah, I knew you'd like it. I ain't gonna wear the wig and the fake prestices, though, like I did on that karaoke night.
That would be a good move, Harold.
Well, I got arrested.
Yeah, but I think the sheriff asked you out at the same time.
Yeah, he wanted to go out dancing.
He just wanted to hold you close.
Yeah, until he felt my scratchy beard.
Amongst other things. Let's carry on, Harold.
Yeah, we best do that. Way back in 1956, there were a race down in Florida. They was racing. They're racing in Florida this week, but not at the same place they was racing at back in 1956.
No, sir, not at the same place at all.
That was down in Titusville at Cocoa Beach. We're a road course down there, folk, in 1956, but it were part of the 1957 season. And we was so tired of the cold. That were a cold year, 1956, up in West Virginia. So yous and I, we went down there, and that were quite a race.
Yeah, that was one cold winter. It kind of froze all our root vegetables and all them things that, you know, we try and overwinter. They all just got done. They got frostbite. They froze. They got winter burn.
I had such a good idea. We went down to Florida, and we ain't never been there before, and Well, everybody's growing oranges and grapefruits, so we brought a tree up north.
It smelled so nice.
Yeah, it died, though, real quick.
Yeah, well, they don't last once when they get about 4 feet of snow on them.
Yeah, that were a problem. But see, I thought I had my bright idea. I said, you bring an orange tree north, and you can grow frozen concentrate. Didn't work.
Did not work, Harold.
I thought I had a plan. Oh, we're going to be able to pick the cans right off the vines, and we're going to have frozen concentrate that we could sell.
And you wonder, Harold, why I question some of your ideas?
Well, I understand that now, honey.
Like, the next thing you're going to be having to do is grow a tree that has can openers on it.
You've been reading...
Did you ever think of that?
You've been reading the notes on my desk lately?
No, I've been reading your mind, Harold. It's as plain as a nose on your face.
Well, I got a pretty big schnoz, so that's pretty easy to read. Anyway, folks.
You should take a whip of it, too, now and then.
Indian River Gold Cup 100 was the name of that race. And there were a team that were the super team. They were Hendrick before Hendrick was Hendrick.
They were almost like the Roush before Roush was Roush Racing.
DPLO Engineering were the names, and they were a great team. And they swept every top spot there at that race back in 1956.
They sure did, but they had one talent pool they was drawing from. They had talent pools back then, too, you know.
They were a pretty deep pool back then. Fireball Roberts, he were number one. He won the race.
That means he won the race.
He was the top dog.
They had some fine automobiles.
Yes, they did. Oh, Curtis Turner, he were second. Marvin Panch were third. And Ralph Moody were fourth. All them,
that's one fine lineup.
All them boys driving for DPLO Engineering in their Fords.
Oh, Pete.
They had another driver. He finished last. Joe Weatherly. He were a good driver, too.
Sure enough was. Absolutely. They had one fine turnout in this race, really. To get the top four positions and just have one car fall out to the back. You know, that's what happens when your clutch goes.
Yeah, they'd be a good team. There's a lot of good drivers that were in that race back then.
That's right. It was a real fight between Paul Goldsmith and Fireball Roberts the whole time.
Yeah, old Paul, he were driving for Smokey Unick.
Yes, sir, he was.
Old Smokey was the man, I'm telling you.
He had a lot of tricks up his sleeve, and on his sleeve, too.
And on his ties, I hear, but that's another story. Paul Goldsmith, he were a good driver. And he were a Goldsmith, too.
He was, except he drove a car.
Yeah, drove a car.
He was a race car driver.
He were a race car driver.
Yes, sir, he was. He was a race car driver.
Doug Cox were fifth.
Drove a race car.
Tiny Lund were sixth, and he weren't so tiny.
He weren't so tiny, he drove a race car.
He drove a race car, all right.
He drove a race car for Penny Enterprises.
Yep, he drove them Petty
Dodges. He won himself a whole whopping $250 in that race.
That were a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
He would have
buy you tires for the couple of months.
Well, he couldn't have bought that Bugalabega recipe, though.
He would need another $25, thank you.
Well, he could talk to Lee Petty, who finished 11, they pool their money. They could afford them Bugler Biggers.
They could have bought the whole recipe. I might have even shown them up and given them some tips.
That'd be pretty good. That were a fun racetrack down there.
That was a nice racetrack. It really, really was. You know, it was, had a good turnout. It was a good time. Nice short race, only about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Look down Titusville, go to the airport.
Couple of seagulls got killed, though.
Well.
It were a mess.
Things happen.
Old Mel Larson, he hit a gull so hard, he got splat all over the place. But he still finished 9.
Well, if you pluck out all the feathers in the glass, it still makes some good victuals.
Sure does. Old Chucky Thompson here at 12. And Jimmy Thompson here were 14. Yeah, a lot of good racers back then.
A lot of good racers, not a big turnout, though. How do you think this compared to other races around that same time for the turnout? We only had about 15 guys show up to this race.
Well, it were pretty expensive to run a car back then. Now we're a road course race, too.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Most of them boys back then, they were used to turning left. Turn left! Go straight. Turn left! Go straight. Here they had to turn both ways.
That's right.
They were a good race.
They had to watch out for the seagulls, too.
And all these boys nowadays, they say, oh, this season's so long. That were race number 3 of 53 that season. That's
more. They're almost ranking right up there with the World of Outlaws in the current day.
That were more races than they had weeks.
How does that work out? That don't even make sense.
They had to race.
That's when they started before the year starts.
Well, they raced more.
That was race number 3.
They race more than once a week. And these boys nowadays, they complain. They say, oh, it's so tough. I gotta go flying. And I gotta race 36 times a day. It's so tough.
They don't have time to go golfing. And they don't have time to go to New York City with their girlfriends. It's a terrible time.
Back in 1957, the season started in 1956 in November, and race 53 were in October of the next year.
Why don't we start the modern day races right now for about 2009? And so that means we're going to have to run about 120 races in 1 year, but we can sort of have that, like, retroactive to, like, 1999, but add it all up and put it forward about 2007. And they should be running every day.
Well, it was tough back then because you had races. You had some times that they had two races in two different cities at the same time.
Well, that's what happens when you would really work out nice if you had yourself a twin brother.
That sure would.
And a twin car.
Yes,
and a
indeed.
Twin tow bar.
Well, there's going to be a driver in Nextel Cup that'll have twins pretty soon.
And who's that going to be?
Juan Pablo Montoya's going to have the chewing gum company on his car, so he's going to have the
Doublemint.
He's going to have the Doublemint twins as his crew chief.
Wow, who do y'all talk to? Like, do you need two people speaking English to get him to understand that outside don't mean you drive to the outside?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
So he's going to hear in his ear, he's going to say, outside, outside, low, low. He's passing you. You got one on the inside. Go on, pit now, pit now. It's all going to be double. It's all going to be double. Juan Pablo Montoya, Juan Pablo Montoya. You the man, you the man. That's as bad as some parrot yakking on at you all the time. He's going to want crackers. I'm going to want crackers. Hey, Juan Pablo Montoya. Hey, Juan Pablo Montoya. You go to pit now. You go to pit now. We're going to give you two tires. We're going to give you two tires. We're going to give you a round of wedge. We're going to give you a round of wedge. I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose my mind. What do you think of that? Gonna go nuts. I can't stand all this double talk. I can't stand all this double talk. Can you imagine having a parrot? Can you imagine having a parrot going at you twice, telling you to pit? Say, oh, look out. You got someone coming high. Don't run the paddle. Oh, sorry. You ain't a mirrors. They don't give a rat's behind what you do. Doubleman, gum. Hot dang.
That's for sure.
That's right. I just can't stand the doublemint people.
Well, folks, it's time to take a break.
So long as they got money. They can sponsor Juan Pablo Montoya.
We'll be back.
Dear Santa, I know I promised I'd be good last year after all the things that I did. I'm really sorry that I ate all your cookies and spilled your milk and then chased the reindeer. I didn't mean to frighten the elves and run away with Mrs. Claus's apron while she was making gingerbread cookies for the children and then make you run through the yellow snow to catch me. But I do have a fresh batch of Racer Dogs t-shirts ready to go, and since your sleigh is stuck on the roof and Rudolph has been scared off by my barking, you can order yours at my website, racerdogs.com. Your friend, Carbon Supersport, official spokespup of racerdogs.com, because dogs like to go fast too. Oh, and Santa, if I put a blinking red light on my nose, can I pull your sleigh?
HotJackets.com has the best pricing and selection of NASCAR jackets you will find anywhere. These same jackets are priced as high as $200 or more at the track, but Hot Jackets has them for just $99. Coming this fall, the brand new Superman jackets, and in stock now is the complete Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights collection. You can also find many of your favorite college teams and the cool new Muppets jackets too. HotJackets.com, your only choice for the complete selection of JH Design Line jackets at the best price anywhere.
Sweet, sweet dreams of you.
Guess it's time to go to sleep.
I reckon. I'll bring the needle.
Good night, everybody. Oh, wait a minute. We's got to fix some vittles.
No, far.
It's time for your vittles, honey.
Oh, time to get cooking again. I invited Spark Plug. Do you think he's going to be showing up? Do I have to set a plate for him? Oh, I hear knocking. Let's go get the door.
Hey,
oh, look,
here we go. How's it going, buddy? Hey, Sparks.
Are you there? Hi.
How's it going, Sparky?
It's getting a little cold out there.
It's cold outside.
Sorry we didn't hear the knocking right away.
I need to take my boots off.
I heard him knocking. Yeah, you take them boots off. You don't want to mess up my floor, my little blue rug.
Well, Harold, you need to do something about that mud out there, brother.
It's getting pretty deep, ain't it?
I got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What I do now, dear Spark?
Well, why is everyone calling me and wishing me congratulations on being Amish?
Being Amish?
Yeah, people call my house and say, congratulations on being Amish.
No, that's Comish.
Oh, well, they say Amish.
That's weird. I don't understand what they doing there.
I ain't grown no beard.
Yeah, you don't look much like Elliot Sadler, I'm telling you.
I don't make my own clothes. I tell them that, and they don't believe me. They say, no, you Amish. I said, no, I'm not.
Well, but you county commissioner. How you like the new job there, Sparky?
Well, I got tired of counting them votes.
Yeah, got tired of making the votes, too, I bet.
Well, I didn't know you could count and win.
Yeah, well, you know.
Can't believe it.
Yeah, you get $27 a week for doing that job. That's a lot of money.
Oh, better than Social Security.
That's for sure, that's for sure.
Well, I think Spark Plus going to be needing some money, because when I was driving past the church last week, you know, I keep driving by. I never do stop in, but I do drive by. I picked up, hitchhiking down the road, the widow Mildred Humpersnatch, and she said she really, really had a fancy to Mr. Sparkplug after seeing all his signs up all up and down the road with his face on it. So the widow Mildred Humpersnatch said she would really like to come over for dinner tonight, the night that Sparkplug is coming. So she just might make an appearance tonight, too. Is that all right with you, Sparkplug?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm famous now.
You're Amish now. Well, that's all right. She wears one of them little bonnets sometimes if she's dressing up with her going to meeting outfit on.
She make her own clothes?
No, she don't make her own clothes. I think she goes to the buy and tell, and she gets in after some rich folks has been wearing them, and they decide they don't want to wear them more than one time. So she buys them at half price. She gets a good deal on them. So she's quite a thrifty woman.
Why am I here?
You're here for Vittles,
Sparkplug. Yeah.
Snap out of it.
You missed my story last week at the lodge.
You hear what happened? You tell it to us now.
I can tell you what happened.
Yes, you tell us, Sparkplug.
Well, when I won that there election, had to go up to the old state house, meet the governor, and went down there, and they fed me some good food. It was really good, and all us Amish were there from all over the state.
What'd they feed you?
It didn't agree with me. It kind of looked like fish, but it didn't smell like fish. But I ate it. You know me.
Yeah, you eat anything.
Yeah, see, especially if it's free.
Yeah, well, that's a good price for you.
Yeah. So I ate that food and went up there then, and they put me up in the old fancy Marriott. Never heard of a homestead called Marriott. So I end up staying there, and stomach was hurting so bad. Then decided I'd go down to that waitress down at the desk down there. And I don't think that she takes too kind to Amish. I said, well, people in my county said I was the Amish one representing them. But she turned me away, and so I went back up there and went to bed. And unfortunately, Miss Bewley got sick in bed.
Oh, no, you did not.
I did. I was so embarrassed. Didn't know what to do. I knew that them cleaning people were going to come in next morning. So I went ahead and wrapped up those sheets and opened up the window. I was about like on the fourth stories.
Oh, you did not, Sparkplug.
I did. I threw it out that window. Next thing I know,
and
I looked down.
Who did you happen to hit?
Yeah, there was a guy down there, unfortunately.
Yeah, I figured as much.
It hit him, and all of a sudden, he started flaring around. Flaring. He was beating and flaring and beating, and all of a sudden, the police come up, and I put my ear down so I could hear what they were saying, and police officer, the old fancy city police officer, put a flashlight in his face and say, hey, son, what are you doing? Guy said, I don't know, but I'm beating the poop out of this ghost. Honest.
Yeah, me old Sparky, I'm telling you. He's a lot of fun down at the lodge, too, folks.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
So, Sparky, what's the first thing you're going to do as county commissioner?
Get people to stop calling me Amish.
Well, hey.
You agree with that agenda?
Well, that's a good idea.
Getting your cat daddy in the house?
Sound like you've been dipping in the cat daddy already, son.
No drinking for me. I'm on the job.
Well, I thought you were supposed to have twice as much when you're on the job.
No, got to represent these people.
Well,
it's a high honor.
It's a high honor already, sure.
But, Harold, I appreciate you being my campaign manager.
Well, I just tell everybody, vote for Sparky. They did.
Not all of them.
Must be a dang-gone genius, I'm telling you.
They all didn't vote for me.
No, we changed some of them votes, so that worked out all right.
Yeah, but that old four-thumb, no-toe Amos?
Yeah, you were a tough campaigner, and old Gravel Gertie, she was going up against you there. I thought she were going to do it. She got a lot of family in these parts.
But she's a sweet one.
We had to change a lot of votes. It's hard to change from Gravel Gertie to Spark Plug.
MGs are hard to change.
Yeah, this is tough to change. Hey, Beulie, what you got for vittles tonight, honey?
Well, I have my favorite recipes ready to make food. Talk about it now?
Yeah, tell us all. Tell these people all about the good vittles we're going to have.
Is it fish?
Well, not quite.
Hope not.
No, we're going to have some grilled Everglades gator. And we're going to follow that down with a nice mess of banana pudding.
That sounds pretty good.
Now, alligator, a legal game, and you can actually get this grown on farms, and the season normally runs from about early September to maybe early October of each year, and the alligators are harvested annually for their skins as well as their meat. People want them skins to go make themselves some nice boots, belts, or maybe a nice briefcase to the office. And the alligator tail meat is the edible part, and it has a very delicate flavor. Now listen, similar to chicken, you all knew I was going to say that. And it has, alligator meat has many recipe applications, such as like fried alligator, stewed alligator, smothered alligator, alligator soup, sausage, barbecued alligator. It just goes on and on. A chocolate alligator? Spark Plug, have you lost your mind?
That sounds good.
Oh, man, when preparing the alligator meat for a recipe, you really have to pay attention to the cleaning method. You want to wash it thoroughly and strip all the fat from the meat to get rid of that gamey-type flavor. And you want to assure that that nice, desired, delicate flavor stays there. So you want to strip all that fat. And the alligator meat is typically prepared in recipes that are cooked for a long period of time to tenderize that meat, because that tail's been a swinging and a swashing in the bayous and in the Everglades and everywhere. So it's a tough old hunk of meat, but it tastes really nice when you cook it down nice. So what you want to do for the grilled Everglades style gator tail is take about 4 to 6 pounds of gator tail, some lemon wedges, and some Cajun seasoning mix, which is a combination of 12 teaspoons of paprika. And Harold, you know the difference between a spoon and a tablespoon?
One's real big.
Yeah, one I smack up the side of your head.
Yeah,
and you're going to need 6 spoons of garlic powder, 3 teaspoons of salt, 3 teaspoons of white pepper, 3 teaspoons of oregano, and you want that all nice and crushed, 3 teaspoons of black pepper, 2 1/2 teaspoons of thyme, which is a herb, not a herb, and 1 teaspoon of cayenne pepper. Now, to make the seasoning mix, you're going to combine the paprika, garlic powder, salt, white pepper, black pepper, thyme, and cayenne pepper in a jar with a real tight lid. And you're just going to shake that all down together. And you can store that for a few months after you make it. And when you're ready to cook, you're going to cut that gator tail meat to half-inch cubes. You're going to roll each cube in 1 teaspoon of the mixture. And you're going to cook it over high heat on an outdoor grill in the oven broiler for about 5 to 6 minutes, or until that gator tail meat is white and firm to the touch. And you're going to serve that nice lemon wedges, and the seasoning mixture is going to coat probably about 24 4-ounce servings of the gator tail. So there's enough to go around for all of us, even for Spark Plug with his large appetite when he's going to be dating the bit of Mildred Hump and Snatch. So now, for we're going to have some nice... What's that? What's that?
Eric.
Did you say you had to rub some herb on it?
No. Thyme is a herb. No, we ain't rubbing herb. We ain't rubbing nobody. We got some herbs to rub on the crocket, whatever the hell it is.
I remember that.
So we're
going to
make us... Don't eat herb out of it. He ain't invited.
I would have thought you were rubbing Herb Thomas, the 2-time Winston Cup champion, on the...
No, it would probably be more like Paul Goldsmith, but instead I'm going to make us some banana pudding.
Can I ask you a question, Beulie?
Go ahead.
You know what chicken tastes like?
Probably like alligator.
Why ain't they ever say that?
Because probably chickens is more popular than alligators.
Not the other alligators.
Have you never been to Bahrain?
Bahu?
Have you never been to Mauritania?
Marhu?
Ain't never been
Bahrain.
There. Ain't never been out of the county lately.
Bob Evans?
Okay, well, y'all just listen to this here banana pudding recipe. It's going to make your stomach just be calling for seconds. You want 3 eggs, going to separate them, 2 cups of milk, 1 cup plus 3 tablespoons of sugar, 4 tablespoons of cornstarch, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 2 tablespoons, or maybe about a half a stick of butter. Now, Spark Plug, you want to tell the sheriff he ain't going to be licking the butter at the Piggly Wiggly anytime soon. And 2 bananas all sliced up, and some vanilla wafers. So what you're going to do is you're going to get a large glass bowl, and you're going to beat those egg yolks. And then you're going to add the milk, and you continue beating all that together. And when it's smooth and bubbly on the top, you're going to add 1 cup of the sugar and 3 tablespoons of the cornstarch, and you're going to beat that until it's all nicely combined. Then you're going to cover the bowl with plastic wrap and punch a hole in the top of it with a knife just to let the air out, and you're going to cook that in your fancy dangled microwave on high for about 3 minutes. Then you're going to whisk it and recover it with plastic wrap and microwave it on high for about another 2 minutes. Add your vanilla and butter and mix it well and add your banana slices. Then you're going to make up some meringue in another bowl. You're going to beat that egg whites and add the remaining tablespoon of cornstarch and 3 tablespoons of sugar, and you're going to beat that until you get them nice stiff peaks like on the nice meringue pies that y'all see. Then you're going to spread the meringue over the pudding mixture and bake that at 400 degrees for about 6 to 8 minutes until that meringue turns nice and brown. And then when it's done, you just line the pudding with vanilla wafers. Don't that just sound so good? I can smell it cooking right now right there with that gator.
That sounds yummy, honey.
Oh, I'm just starving.
Can you repeat that?
I don't think so, Sparkplug, but I will send you a Word document printed out in triplicate just for Hugh.
Well, I appreciate that.
I thought you would like that.
I was having a hard time writing that down.
Well, you would have to have gone to the Ethel Woodhead speed writing course to keep up with me now, Sparkplug. You ought to know that.
That's true, Miss Bewley.
That's right.
Well, Sparky brought a nice bottle of Ripple to go with it, too.
That's very fine of you, Sparkplug. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, you always got a place sitting at our table, Sparkplug. You know that.
Well, he'd be a VIP now.
That would be like a very important person. But some people have been calling him a VIA because they think he's a very important Amish.
That's right.
Ain't got no beard, though.
Well, that's good. He's one of them youngin' ones. Can't even grow one.
Can't grow one.
I'm going to have to whip you up an elixir.
Well, I'm trying to go after that Gillette Young gun.
Well, I hear they're all stepping back from that program. Maybe they got an opening.
Now I take the place of Casey Kane.
Yeah, well, you probably got more hair than he has.
He ain't even got five whiskers. How the heck he gonna be on a shaving show?
I think they should get Derek Cope in that Young Family of Drivers. What do you think of that?
That'd be
Young
fun.
Guns, whatever it's called.
That'd be
right.
fun.
Right, so, hair on my chest.
So what number is Ryan Newman going to have on his head next year?
Well, wouldn't it be number 12?
Well, he had number 8 on his head last year. Old Junior!
Oh, I see what you mean. I see where you're going.
So whose number going to be on?
That's a good question. Sparkplug, what's your number?
SP.
That'll
you
fit.
Know, spark plug. Don't need
that'll
no number.
Fit.
You don't
SP,
need no number.
SP, that'll fit. Put a monogram on it.
There you go. That'll work.
That works for me.
That'll work just fine.
Just make
so.
Myself.
Can you scream Newman?
Ain't there a TV show with Newman?
There used to be.
They fired them people.
Well, that Newman boy, I tell you, he's about as tall as that Newman on that show. Bald, too.
Don't he deliver the mail?
I think so.
I think he does.
Yeah.
Newman.
Well, that sounds like a heck of a recipe.
That sounds good.
I can't wait. Yes. My mouth is just drooling over just
goody.
Thinking about them yummy vittles.
Now, anything on my little blue truck is all I ask. It's brand new. I got it with my bugle money. $175 from Betty herself.
That's a lot of money.
Aaron Crocker?
No, Betty Crocker. I believe that's her third cousin twice removed down the line.
Uh-huh. Well, before I sit down at the table, Harold, you got a sock I can borrow?
What do you need a sock for?
Well, this one right here, look, I got a hole in it. Don't want to sit at the table with that fine dinner with the hole in my sock.
Yeah, that's a big hole.
And my toenail keeps going right to it.
Yeah, it's a big toenail, too.
You been hanging out in your basement making websites or what?
Nope. Just can't reach it no more.
Well, that seems to be a problem.
Don't have to pull your belt tighter, spark plug.
Well, I want to come, you know, all fancy and all.
Well, you're wearing your
clean... We'll take you any way you can.
You're wearing your clean shirt. That's pretty darn fancy, if you ask me.
I got this at the state capitol.
That's
right
nice
after
one.
I messed up the other one.
You get that one from the governor?
No, it's some fancy store in that Marriott.
Oh, that's... Well, that's pretty cool. That's real nice.
I think you might have bought that from a ghost on Halloween.
It's white like that. White like a ghost.
Hopefully there ain't no vomit stains on it.
Actually, I got it at a garage sale. I just didn't want to tell you.
Well, that's
we ain't too proud around here.
Down to Rebecca Yoder's house.
Oh, Rebecca Yoder. Don't she make some sort of dairy product?
I think so. Bread?
I think so. Bread, yeah.
Funny thing Rebecca. Is, when I look at the tag, it says Harold on it. How'd that happen?
I think it's magic. I think it's a little bit that Yoder magic.
They use them Sharpie markers.
Yeah, they could be doing that. You know, they don't want to lose your clothing when you leave it laying around.
That's true. You going to make it a story time next week, Harold?
Absolutely.
Well, I didn't vote on this, so I'll warn you because I'm your buddy. But they're going to want to talk about old girlfriends.
Oh, girlfriends?
Yeah, so be prepared.
That could get me in a lot of trouble.
I think maybe you should talk about Erica.
Well, I could do that.
Remember her?
Now, I got to listen to this.
Remember her? Did you tell Beulie about Erica?
Never told Beulie about Erica.
Well, I'm all ears, Harold.
Oh, we're going to have to do it another time because we're out of town, folks.
Just in
time. It's convenient, ain't it?
It sure is. Let me tell you.
Let's eat.
It's time to eat some vittles anyway.
It's a cooking, it's cooking. Just a couple more minutes on the other side.
Oh, I'll say the blessing.
Yeah, you get there. Go ahead and clean your hands up there, and we're going to meet you over at the table.
God's neat, let's eat.
There you go. That's Sparky. This is Harold, and that's Beulie. Say goodnight to everybody, Beulie.
Goodnight to everybody, Beulie.
We'll talk to you next week, folks. It's time for dinner. This is Speedway City, USA. I'll catch you later, folks. Bye-bye.
Don't burn your hands on that pot. It's very
ouch.
Hot over there.
Looks
good.
Keep
your sock on, spark plug. He said don't walk around barefoot when toenail hanging out.
Get that hurt. Get that sock.
Get it on.